today as we come to the table.
He's saying one seed can produce 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. What kind of seed is this? He's now going to reveal this is the golden seed of God's word. God's word is now being cast on your hearts. And depending on what kind of soil, what kind of heart you have, is going to be the outcome of what that seed is going to do. The seed isn't the problem. It's golden. It's rich. It has everything in it it is needed to produce fruit. But if your heart doesn't allow it to produce fruit, it won't. The exciting thing is even as we're reading this, the seeds that are being planted, they're going to grow later and they're going to produce even more fruit.
There are lots of factors when it comes to planting and harvesting a crop. The amount of water, sun, the temperature, and the state of the soil all play a role in the seed growing as it should. If a crop fails, it's not because the seed itself failed. It's the result of an outside influence. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Your heart is a field. Every day the Word of God is sown, but the success of the crop lies in the condition of your heart's soil. Sometimes patience and gentleness are harvested. Other times, a crop of bitterness or envy grows. What's the difference? Today, Pastor Mark reminds us that the Word of God never fails. It's the outside influences that causes failure. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
If you have your Bibles, let's open them up to Matthew chapter 13. As we look today at the parable of the sower and the soils, I want to read a couple of verses for you, then we'll pray and dig into this. But notice what it says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you reveal your word to us in many ways, that you speak straightforward to us. God, that you speak to us in parables and give us pictures of what you're trying to say, because you know that sometimes we're dull of hearing, we're dull of seeing, we're dull of understanding. And I thank you for doing that, Lord, to give us different avenues so that we might understand your word and we might understand your kingdom and we might understand you. And so, God, I pray as we look at your word today and we look at the parable of the sower and the soils, God, I pray that you would challenge us on the soil of our heart and which one we are. And God, let your word now change us if we have the wrong soil to the right soil. And Lord, if we have the correct soil, let it produce the fruit for which you sent it to produce. So God, pour out your spirit now and minister to your people through your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we talk about the parable of the sower. Jesus called it the parable of the sower, so I'm not going to change that. That's what it is. But I added the parable of the sower and the soils because the Lord's going to look not only at what he's like as a farmer in sowing the hearts of mankind, but the type of soil we have makes all the difference in the world as to whether we receive it and especially as to whether we produce any fruit. Every single one of us in here has one of these four types of soil. And I want to challenge you today, which soil are you? And if you see that you're one of the soils that's not producing fruit, then I want to challenge you to ask God to give you a heart and to give you soil and to work your heart in such a way that you can begin to produce fruit and you can be a soil that will produce righteousness unto God and, more importantly, salvation. And so the Lord is going to reveal that, and he's going to show us some codes, if you will, about the parables as we look at God working in our hearts. You know, we often think of Jesus as the good shepherd, and so he is, but today we're going to see him as the good farmer, or we might say the holy farmer, and that is even as Jesus is a shepherd to his sheep, he is also the one, by determining the soils and how the seed grows, who's going to be in his flock and who's not. Now, again, it's not that God doesn't give the opportunity for everyone to be a part of his flock, but it depends on the soil of the heart, whether you can receive it and whether or not you produce fruit unto salvation. And that's where, as you learn to recognize and do self-examination today about which soil you are, again, if you see that you're not the soil you need to be, you can pray for God to change it, because that's going to depend on your salvation and your eternity with God or there without. Now, again, soil, if there's good soil, there's going to be good fruit when you hear the word of God. If there's bad soil, it will make no difference. There'll be no lasting effect. And again, we'll see that today as the Lord works through his parable. And only those who have good soil and produce fruit from seed that is planted by the Lord can be a part of his flock and a part of his, if you will, his crop unto the kingdom. But note this, as we get into this, we're going to see this. The problem is not with the seed. The seed is pure. It's not the seed that's the problem. It's the heart of the person hearing the seed. And so we're going to see the Lord bring that out and give us a lot of explanations as to where we are today and maybe what we've seen in people's lives around us as we look at this. Now, let's jump right in. Notice it says here in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, notice, first of all, it says on the same day. He had been fighting with the religious leaders. Again, they called them the Pharisees. For our purposes today, let's just call them the unsaved religious. And you'll hear me use that term over and over, because there's a lot of people that are very, very religious, but they don't know God. And they live based off their religion and their legalism and their laws and their rules. And they fought against the Lord all the time. They were saying, you've got to do these things. You've got to follow these laws. You've got to obey the Sabbath, not the way the Bible reveals the Sabbath, but the way that we say the Sabbath is. And the Lord rebuked them. And he fought with them. So all day already, he's been fighting the physical battle with these religious unsaved. All day, he's been fighting the spiritual battle with the spiritual realm that's attacking him. And yet, what I love about the Lord is his day is not done. And what an inspiration this is to us. And what do I mean by that is, look, there's always work to be done. And if God opens a door, then walk through that door. If you're doing ministry, if God gives you a chance, even if you're tired, if God opens that door, I can't tell you how many times there's been maybe a long, hard day, and I'm just tired, and God opens up a door for ministry, and I can hear my heart begin to grumble, saying, oh, I'm already exhausted, and I know this is going to take a long time, you know. This is going to be a lot of onion to unpeel, so to speak, and yet God says, do it. I've called you to do it, and I'll give you the strength. This is what Jesus did. He was diligent, and even after a long, hard day, he realized there's multitudes here. They need to be taught. They need to understand God, and they need to know the kingdom. And notice it says, again, the great multitudes were gathered there, and he got out of the boat on the water. No doubt one of the boats of the disciples. It tells us he did that in other gospels. And so what was the second thing we notice here? That is the Lord seeing this massive crowd. And massive crowds were, again, at this time, just following the Lord everywhere. And no doubt, thousands of people gathered on the bank. Well, if you've ever been in a large crowd like that, you realize you can see everybody right there, but that's all you can see is what's right in front of you. You know the crowd's there, but you can't really make eye contact. You can't see them. You can't communicate. He says, give me one of your boats. I'm going to go out where I can see everybody. So he backs out in the water where they can't crowd around him. He can see everybody there on the bank. And not only would it have given them a vantage point of seeing everybody he was speaking to, but again, it would have given natural amplification. Again, sound does not penetrate through water very well. So when sound hits water, it rides right along the surface and would have gone right up into the bank and right up into those that were watching. So the Lord had his natural amplification. He's there before all the people. The crowds are amassed in large numbers. He's got their full attention because they've heard what he's been doing and fighting against the religious leaders of the day and teaching the word of God. And now he begins to jump into these parables. And notice what he says to them here in verse 3. It says, then he spoke to them many things in parables. Now, let's take a moment to explain what a parable is before we get into the parable, and that is the word parable is made up of two different words in the Greek language, the word para and the word bole, B-O-L-E. Para and bole, or parable, where we get it. Para means alongside. Bole means to throw something or cast something at something. So what he's saying is a parable is something that you put alongside, for example, alongside the teaching of the Lord. And then you throw that in there so it gives them a full image, a picture of what God is saying or what the Lord is trying to get across to them. So the parables are given to give more light, more information, something thrown alongside the teaching so we can understand it better. Now, you may have heard people say, and I've heard people say over the years that, again, parables, it seems as though the Lord is trying to hide something with a parable. That's not true at all. The parables were given so we could understand it better. And the Lord knew that their hearts had grown dull, so he was trying to reach them in a different way. But we're going to see that parables are used by the Lord in two different ways. First of all, they're used to reveal truth to those who want the truth. That is, if you desire to know more about the kingdom of God and you desire to know more about the Lord, this is going to come to life. God's going to make it spring to life because he gives you greater understanding if you desire it. However, we're also going to see that the Lord reveals that parables are used to hide the truth from those who don't want the truth. Now, it's not that God doesn't want to reveal the truth to everyone. He wants everyone to know the truth, and he wants to reveal the truth to all people, but he knows those who want the truth, and he knows those who don't want the truth. And a parable, if they're not going to hear the straightforward speech of the Lord, a parable's not going to help. It simply oftentimes drives them farther away. Well, I don't understand this. I don't know what he's talking about. I'm out of here. And so God uses it in both ways. He either draws you in or oftentimes reveals that your heart is not open to hear by using a parable. And so we're also going to see as we get into the parables that the parables have a written code, that if you understand the code, you will understand the parables. Now, what do I mean by that? In other words, the Lord is going to reveal to us here, and if you read the other gospels that pertain to the same issue, he tells us what each of the symbols mean. For example, the Lord's going to show us that the seed is the word of God. We're going to see that he reveals that birds are actually the demonic realm and represent Satan in the demonic realm. And he reveals that when you see the picture in all the gospels. And why does he do that? So that we can understand what he's saying. If there wasn't a code to understand, or a key, if you will, to understand the parables, anyone could say they mean what they want them to mean. And nobody would know what they mean. So even like with prophecy, God is consistent in using symbols and pictures for all prophecy, all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. God does the same thing here with the parables. You'll notice that he'll speak of them in all the parables using the same symbolism so that we can understand it. It's the key to interpretation. When they asked him in Mark, the same episode is going on in Mark, and they asked him, Lord, what does all this mean? We don't understand. And he said this pertaining to this particular parable when they asked him about understanding. He said in Mark 4:13 this, notice, he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So here we see is a key. If you don't understand what these things represent in this parable, you won't understand everything else I'm going to show you in the parables. So it's very important that we get what the key words are, what they mean, and then we can have an understanding of what the Lord is saying. Again, we're going to see as he gets into this parable the four different types of soil. And by the way, there are only four types of hearts in the world. But what I want you to do is examine, which heart am I? Which soil am I? And let the Lord challenge you this morning. So he begins now to give them the parable. Notice what he says. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, the first type of soil, he says here, is a soil that is very hardened. It fell by the wayside. Now, what was the wayside? Understand, in that day, there were lots of farms and lots of agriculture. They were an agrarian society, lots of wheat fields everywhere. So when you travel through the land, you would have to walk through the wheat fields. So the farmers would have paths that went through the wheat fields. They'd have paths that went around the wheat fields so you wouldn't walk down the middle of their standing grain. But the problem is, and really not really a problem for them in that purpose, but in the type of heart the Lord is describing, it's a pathway that's beaten down by so many people walking on it for so long. A very hardened path, a very beaten down path. It's the type of thing, if seed was thrown and landed on that area, there's no way it could ever penetrate because it is so hard the seed can't get in. And the problem is, if the seed falls on that kind of hardened ground and can't penetrate the ground, then the birds eventually see the seed laying there, and the birds come and they pull all the seeds away. Now, again, I've already let the cat out of the bag as to what this means. We'll let the Lord explain it more in a moment, but there's the first type of soil. Now he comes to the second one. Notice what he says. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched, because they had no root, they withered away. Now he says there's a second group here, another type of soil that has some softness to it, but there's a lot of hardness as well. Part soft, part hard, a lot of rocky territory in that type of soil. And also he says with all those rocks, it's not very deep. So the seed gets planted there and it begins to grow just like all the other crops. You see the green come up in those areas. You don't see anything come up in the hardened, but in the areas where there's a little bit of soil that's workable, you see it pop up with all the other wheat. But when the sun comes out, when the heat gets turned on, it withers and begins to melt away. He says that's the second kind of soil that's out there. He goes on to the next one. He says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Now note this, they fell among thorns. It doesn't mean that the seed was planted and then thorns came up and surrounded it. It means that the thorns were already there. He says they were planted among thorns. And then the seed surrounded it and choked it out. In other words, this is a picture of there's good soil that's there. Obviously, it's workable soil. The weeds can grow. The thorns can grow. But they're so thick that it doesn't let the wheat grow. That's the third type of soil. And he comes to the last one. He says, but other fell on good ground and yielded a crop. That is, they're well-cultivated, rich soil, no weeds, no thorns in the way, open to receive what the farmer was putting down, able to get good root system, able to grow deep. And notice the result of this. He says, some were 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. This would have gotten their attention. Again, he's saying, he who has ears, let him hear. He's speaking in a spiritual sense and trying to get their attention about the kinds of hearts that they all have and what he's dealing with. And he would say the same thing to us. If you've got ears to hear, listen to what God is saying to you. Recognize the type of soil that you have and act on it. Cry out to God to restore something that needs to be restored or whatever needs to be done. But this would have really gotten their attention because notice some produces 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. This was unheard of. I mean, seed generally is maybe 1 to 8 of its yield, maybe 1 to 10 of its yield. He's saying one seed can produce 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. What kind of seed is this? He's now going to reveal this is the golden seed of God's word. God's word is now being cast on your hearts. And depending on what kind of soil, what kind of heart you have, is going to be the outcome of what that seed is going to do. The seed isn't the problem. It's golden. It's rich. It has everything in it. It is needed to produce fruit. But if your heart doesn't allow it to produce fruit, it won't. The exciting thing is even as we're reading this, the seeds that are being planted, they're going to grow later and they're going to produce even more fruit. And it's to realize that God is doing something even beyond our control. Just hearing the word of God, just planting the seeds in the heart has a great crop. And that's what he's talking about. Now, again, the disciples don't quite get this. So they ask him, Lord, what in the world are you talking about? And notice there in verse 10, it says, and the disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, it's Mark that tells us they didn't know what was going on, and they'll reveal that even later. But they want to know, why is it that you're speaking to them in parables? You speak to us very straightforwardly. You speak to us plainly. Why in parables to them? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Listen, if you're understanding what's being said, that is a gift of God. God is giving you right now the ability to understand. Don't squander it. Don't throw it away. So many people do not understand. And if God is opening your eyes and opening your heart, it is a gift from God. I remember when God opened my eyes. I heard the Bible a lot my whole life. I grew up going to church, so to speak, and on. I remember when, again, Tracy was actually the one sharing, reading the word to me, and we're looking at the word together, and it just made no sense to me. I didn't understand it, but I desired to. And again, it's that whole principle that if you desire to understand, God will give you the ability to understand. If you don't desire to understand, you'll not have that ability. And I had the desire, and in a moment of time, boom, in a second, my eyes were opened, and I realized this is the word of God. I didn't know why. All I knew is that all of a sudden I knew this is God's word, and I became very, very frightened because I realized I am not living this way, and this is not who I am. But now I know something just happened. I didn't understand all the spiritual things that had just taken place. But something just happened that let me know this is God's word from heaven speaking to mankind. And it freaked me out. And I ran for a couple of years. Okay, that's part of my testimony. And God brought me back around. But the reality is it was given to me. Why did he give that to me? He said, I see your heart. You don't know me. And you're a mess, Mark. But I'm going to give you this because I know you want to know me. And boom. Do you want to know him? Do you want to understand? If you don't, nothing's going to happen. You'll leave this place the same way you walked in. But if you want to know his word, you're not going to leave here the same way you came in. You're going to leave different, not only from what God says to you today, but the seeds that are going to be planted that'll sprout later down the road. And so he says, it's been given to you. He says, but to them it has not been given. That's because they didn't want it. For whoever has, notice this, I love this, for whoever has to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. He says, you know what? If you want to receive the things of God, if you want to understand God's word, if you want more of God, you're going to be given more. All you can handle, I will continue to increase it, God says. He says, if you don't want it, it's going to get weaker and weaker and weaker and darker until finally you're going to be separated forever, for eternity from God. And that's why the choice we make is so important. But the exciting thing to me is if we do receive it, He would say, yes, I want what you have to give, Lord. If we do that, God says, I'm going to continue to give in abundance. You see, you already have an understanding if you know the Lord. God's already producing fruit in your life if you know the Lord. And what's cool is all this golden seed of God's word that's landing in your heart, it's going to produce more fruit down the road. And the more you read it, more fruit. And the more you hear it, more fruit. And the more you live it, more fruit. It just continues to go into abundance. And that's exciting to me. Again, you know, when I first came to the Lord, I used to think, and really for years into that, I love when you share with the Lord with somebody and they give their life to the Lord. But sometimes when you're sharing with somebody, it's the first seeds that have been planted. And I would be the type to go, look, I want to plant this seed. I want to see this seed grow. And now are you ready to receive Christ? And it just never worked. It's like, you know what? It just didn't happen that quick. Plant the seeds and pray. It takes time for the seeds to grow. It takes time for God to work. Now, some of you had the opportunity in this room to be able to lead somebody to the Lord. You've shared the gospel with them. They've received it or whatever. You're like, wow, I led them to the Lord. Listen, yes, you are part of that process, but it's because somebody else already planted seeds a long time ago. It's because somebody else was watering that seed, and God gave you the privilege of being the one to bring in the harvest. And so I'm not taking anything away from that, but the reality is when we get a chance to pray and somebody gives their life to the Lord, it came with a lot of hard work from other people in their life up to that point. So when you're planting seeds in people's lives and in their hearts, wait, be patient, pray, know that it's going to take time for that seed to bear fruit, if indeed it's going to bear fruit, and that depends on the type of soil that they have. But if you do have that, even more will be given. If you don't, it's going to fade away to nothing. Therefore, verse 13, because of all this, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I'm trying to reach them a different way. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand, seeing you will see and you will not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Note that, I have that underlined, has grown dull. Listen, no child starts out with a dull heart, no child. Children start out with a very supple heart for the things of God. Children naturally believe in God. Listen, before I ever knew the Lord, I didn't come to the Lord until I was 25 years old. When I was a kid, I knew that God was real. I knew he was. And you did too. When you were a kid, if you're able to think back on it, listen, nobody is born an agnostic. Nobody's born an atheist. It is something that you are taught, and it is something that happens over time as the heart grows dull. And that's all the more reason, moms and dads, take those beautiful little hearts, take the golden seeds of God's word and sow it abundantly in their little hearts. Don't just let people do it in kids' church. That's great. I'm glad we have kids' church, but mom and dad, throughout the week, you need to be working the fields. You need to be planting that seed. You need to be reading the word of God to them. All that going in there, because right now, this is the moment. This is the freshest, darkest, blackest potting soil you're ever going to see in their entire life. Take advantage of it. Just let it soak in, because as they get older, if you don't, they're going to grow harder. The sin of the world, the deception of the world, the things of the world, you've got to plant that in there. Take advantage. That's why I encourage you even now, you know, in babies, in the history of Israel, they would always take the baby when they were first born and begin to share the word of God with them. And I've already started doing that with my granddaughter. Pour the seeds in there. Get that fertile soil while it's still fertile, because it's going to grow dull. And their hearts, notice this, their hearts had grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they, note that, their eyes, they have closed.
Thanks for joining us as we come to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark Kirk. In this series, Pastor Mark is teaching from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44 says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Do you remember the day you discovered the kingdom of heaven when Jesus first called your name? Just like the disciples who dropped everything to follow him, you were ready right then to give up everything else in your life to be with Jesus. As Pastor Mark goes through Matthew in this series, think back to that first love and let the flame be rekindled. Put yourself into the story and drop your nets to follow the teacher who performs miracles, and then sit at his feet and learn how to love. We're so glad you've decided to join us for this series. There's nothing greater than spending time together at the feet of our Lord. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you're in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love to see you in person. We have services on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and Wednesday nights at 7. You can find our location at calvaryknoxville.org. And if you can't make it in person, you can find all sorts of messages available at thewaymedia.net or just download the Way Media app. Well, we've come to the end of our time together for today, but Pastor Mark has much more to share as we go through the book of Matthew. So make sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.